Welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm delighted to welcome back a guest who has joined us before. Vicki Wood is the Youth Services Coordinator for Lincoln City Libraries. And Vicki makes an annual practice of creating a list called Good Books for Gifts. I've invited Vicki to All About Books to discuss some of those titles that would be right for the young people on your gift list. Vicki, welcome.
It's great to be here.
Why don't you begin by telling us what is at the top of your stack?
I actually have two board books, and they are by the same author, and they go together very well. They're beautiful books that focus on colors, and they're both by Erin Becker. One's called My Favorite Color, and the other one is called You Are the Light. They have these beautiful cutout squares on them, and when you lay the book down, each page, it goes against a color on the opposite page and changes the color from page to page. So it's very sophisticated as a sort of as an art book, but it's also really simple and beautiful and kind of amazing. And I think that children and parents will enjoy it a lot together because everything kind of shifts and transitions as you turn the page, and it's really beautiful.
So when we're talking about a board book, that is typically a book that an adult shares with a child, usually on their lap, I would say, reading and experiencing the book together.
Yes, exactly. And this one is an oversized board book. I think it would be really appropriate for a child about 2 or 3 years old, just kind of becoming aware of the names of things because there's a lot of language in here about fruits and vegetables and also about different colors.
Vicki, what do you have on your stack that might be for a slightly older child?
I have a picture book, and it is called Every Little Letter. It's a really interesting take on an alphabet book because it's about a little walled city that has all H's in it. And the H's, of course, are very happy together until one day one of the small H's looks out of the wall and sees a little I. And, of course, they make friends and become the word hi, which is so clever. The basic story then is about how the communities come together, you know, making friends, tearing down walls, the importance of diversity. It's just a really sweet little book. The illustrations are a little bit pastel, just very sweet. It has a nice message, and it's by Deborah Underwood.
I'm often intrigued by the kinds of books that you've described so far, one about colors and one about letters, in that it can be difficult, I think, to come up with a new way of presenting the information. Am I correct in saying, Vicki, that both of these, both the board books you talked about and the picture book, take an interesting route to get to that concept?
Yes, definitely. And concept books are really perennially popular, and they are because those are the things that kids are interested in and what they're learning more about. I'm always amazed when people can come up on new takes of these sort of traditional formats. And so, yeah, these are two really, really beautiful new ones. And I think that the other nice thing about these books is that they both would stand up to definitely having repeated readings.
Well, one of the aspects of both board books and picture books is that they're intended, of course, for an adult to read to a child. These aren't necessarily books that a child would be able to read. Then there's that transition that happens when kids are beginning to read. So is there something on your stack for a child who would be in that early reading category?
Yes. I chose a book this time that is called a Norma and Belly book. So Norma and Belly are characters. They're both squirrels. And this is what's called a graphic book. So in other words, a lot of the action and dialogue happens in a sort of a what we would consider a comic book format. So it's a graphic book, but it is for a first reader. It has a limited vocabulary. And I believe this is the first book, I believe, that's going to be a long series because these two characters are quite compelling and fun, and their friendship is part of the story. And the first one is called Donut, D-O-N-U-T, Feed the Squirrels. And it's just a simple story about one of them burns the breakfast in the morning, and then they discover a donut truck, and there's all kinds of adventures with them trying to figure out. They don't have any money, obviously, because they're squirrels, so they're trying to figure out how to get some donuts for breakfast. the friendship between the two characters is kind of central. So if you think about things like Frog and Toad, Elephant and Piggy, this is another play on that where there's two friends who are different, but they come together to try to solve a problem.
Excellent. I know that a lot of children prefer something that's not fiction, want something more informational, something that would be nonfiction. What do you have for that group of children?
This is a beautiful, it's a small, slim book, but it's very beautiful. It's called The Solar System by the Numbers, and it's by Steve Jenkins. And Steve Jenkins is an amazing writer for children. He writes lots of books about science and science concepts. And this book is very much a book of infographics that helps to explain to children the scale of the galaxy in really simple format. And that sounds harder than he makes it, because it's amazing. He shows the difference in the sizes of the planets and helps kids get an overall idea about how big the solar system is and what's in it and what different kinds of things are there. And it's just really good because it very much brings things to scale so that you can conceive of some of these very, very difficult concepts.
When you said it was a book by Steve Jenkins, I nodded my head, which on radio is hard to convey. But I did so because he does have that history of creating nonfiction books that are really interesting to look at and do that job of conveying scientific information that's a little bit hard to grasp in a way that makes perfect sense.
The thing that really comes to mind when I think about it is kind of that whole visual literacy thing. You know, when you have a timeline or something like that where things start to make sense because you can see where they fit with everything else, which is basically how you learn anything. And, you know, as an adult, reading this book really helped me put some things in perspective, too, because these things are very hard to conceive of, the sizes and the scale. And he's just really good at it.
I would add that I find that probably the adults in the family, when the children go to bed, would probably pick up a book like that to enjoy it on their own as well.
Right, exactly. Or learn a lot while they're reading it aloud to their child. Because like you said, some kids really prefer nonfiction. So this book would be great for a younger kid who maybe isn't quite ready for that level of information, but sharing it with a parent could make it more interesting and more understandable.
Absolutely. What about if I have a teen on my gift list? Do you have some ideas for someone who's in that teen age range?
Well, I have to say the teen books are hard, because if you know about being a teen and you know about reading about teens, they're often what I would consider quote unquote problem novels. And so giving a child a book about, you know, struggles and teen problems sometimes, you know, it seems a little odd. And then also there's the tween years, which are the 10 to 12-year-old, where kids are kind of falling in a category that's difficult to choose. So I chose a book this time by Jason Reynolds called Look Both Ways that I think would be really enjoyable to a younger teen and an older teen both. It's a series of kind of short stories that are all tied together. And it's about 10 characters who are on their way home from school. The stories are each told parallel, but they all tie together through certain characters. And so it really is not an easy thing to do. When you're reading the book, you think, wow, how did he do this? Tie these, you know, very short stories, bring out really strong characters, and then tie them to each other. And there's even a little bit of backstory with each of the characters, which is not easy to do in a book this slim and small. I also think this would be a great book for reluctant readers, because there's a lot of action, there's a lot of dialogue, and things move really quickly. And actually, the beginning of the book starts with a school bus falling from the sky and ends that way, too. And I won't tell any more about it, but that's the basic part, beginning of the story and the end of the story.
Well, I'm so pleased that you brought a short story collection, partly because I think in the hustle and bustle of holidays, not to mention our odd holidays this year with COVID, I think short stories play a role for people who are just having a hard time keeping a long attention span intact.
Yeah, definitely. And this one really, it really carries you along. And, you know, Jason Reynolds is I think he's a poet by nature. And so some of the, you know, know, language in here is also very beautiful and poetic. And there's also a lot of really funny moments, too. So it's almost like the perfect book because it has some heaviness, it has some lightness. I think it has a lot of characters that kids can relate to depending on what they're like and their classmates. It just really brings out the fact that everybody has a story and no one knows really what other people are going through in their life because you don't know their story. And this just gives you a little look into some really unique characters and their stories.
Vicki, would you talk a little bit about how you recommend families incorporate reading into their holiday, either their holiday traditions or practices? What are some ways that people can do that?
Well, I know that there are families that read the same book every year. For instance, they might read a Christmas Carol or a book like that. I know that there's also an actual holiday in Iceland where you give books and you read. Everybody retreats to their own place and reads their new book, which is kind of appealing in a way. But if you're talking about sharing books, I think there's a lot of opportunities for kind of downtime, you know, after opening presents or before bed or at dinner time or after dinner time or whatever. There's a lot of just looking for openings and times to read aloud. And of course, giving books as gifts is the perfect way to do that. And I know that a lot of times grandparents will ask, you know, what should I get a child, especially a child who has everything. A favorite book from their childhood can be a really great gift, and the grandparent can share it with the child. And I think there's just a lot of different opportunities to share, especially during those long holidays, and when it gets dark and you can't go outside, reading's the perfect thing.
Excellent. Well, Vicki, thank you so much for being my guest today. Would you please just give us a rundown of each of the books that you talked about for our listeners to hear again?
Okay. The first two are board books. The one's called You Are Light, and the other's called My Favorite Color, and those are by Aaron Becker. The other picture book was called Every Little Letter by Deborah Underwood, illustrated by Joy Wang Ruiz. The first reader is by Micah Song, and it's called Donut, Feed the Squirrels. The nonfiction book is called Solar System by the Numbers by Steve Jenkins. The fiction book for tweens and teens is Look Both Ways by Jason Reynolds.
Thanks, Vicki.
You're welcome.
Vicki Wood is a youth services coordinator for Lincoln City Libraries. Vicki shared several titles from her annual Good Books for Gifts list. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.